We had been contacted early on with regard to our possible interest, what in our area might be relevant to a Cuba trip. We instantly raised the future of Plattsburgh International Airport, the fact that Cuba is the top destination for the Montreal market in the Caribbean. Over 600,000 Montrealers travel to Cuba every year. And that visitation is up over 200% since 2010. They're flooding the country. If and when air service opportunities expand between the U.S. and Cuba, there's a slam dunk success to be had in the eventual provision of Cuba service from here. They came back with an invite for us to be part of the delegation, which did come as a surprise, but it was a happy one. We were pleased to go. It was an exciting and highly informative trip.
What were some of the key things that you needed to learn through this trip?
I needed to come to a clearer understanding of what the market opportunity is. You can research that from here to a degree, but there's another level of understanding that comes from going there, seeing, feeling, sitting down and meeting with key people on the Cuban side about tourism development, about servicing international air travel and so on, and really arriving at a conclusion that this makes a heck of a lot of sense for the future of Plattsburgh International, and we need to work towards getting there as soon as that may be possible. Air travel is already occurring on an accelerated scale between the U.S. and Cuba, but there are still some restrictions, so it isn't totally open. But at some point, everybody agrees it's going to be much more open. I think we did a lot to position ourselves in terms of coming to understand the market. The aviation delegation that sat down with the Cuban aviation and tourism delegation consisted of Plattsburgh International Airport and the CEO and the executive vice president of JetBlue. So that's a nice position to be in. We were the ones really talking on behalf of the state and talking about things related to aviation and tourism. And then the lady who is the director for international aviation in Cuba was for 3 years Cuba's representative at the International Civil Aviation Organization in Montreal. And the minute I sat down, she said, "Plattsburgh, I know Plattsburgh very well. She's going to be a great contact and a great partner." So a very insightful, a very valuable visit for Plattsburgh International Airport.
Did you get a chance to assess any other possible trade sectors for this region and Cuba?
We had consistent conversations throughout. Tourism is something they want to develop, obviously. The other two sectors that are of intense interest on the Cuban side in terms of future partnerships with the states are in agriculture and food products and biotech. Cuba actually will surprise people the degree to which they are doing very first world, very high-tech research in biotechnology and in pharmaceuticals. It was informative that even under the current embargo, there actually are far more opportunities than some companies may realize to do exporting to Cuba in identified sectors where licenses can be obtained to do that. Something that was just personally of interest to me, too, was the visit with the governor, who, by the way, did an extraordinary job. We visited the Port of Mariel. It's a state-of-the-art container port. It is $1 billion of investment coming out of Brazil. It's being run by a Singapore company. They're using software for all of their operations coming from China. Do you hear U.S. there? It became a good example that change is coming, massive investment for the positioning of future business activity in Cuba, but U.S. interests aren't there. The Brazilians, the Singaporeans, the Chinese, there's a British executive running the port. You know, they're all there, and we're not there.
There's a lot of the conservative wing that think opening up Cuba for trade, for tourism, for any sort of U.S. interaction is a bad idea. What do you make of that criticism?
North Country Chamber doesn't have a foreign policy, so I'm not going to weigh in on that specifically. But what is clear, and certainly has been clear to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and most of the American business community for a long time, is that what has been done for 50, 60 years isn't working, and that now that change is afoot in Cuba, and you could see it, you could sense it, you could see the signs of it. Change is happening. It's not happening overnight, but some very important things have occurred. Just, for example, opening up the right for Cubans to have small enterprise and to open restaurants in particular. There are now beautiful restaurants everywhere. It's unleashing the innate entrepreneurial spirit of the Cuban people, and it's becoming evident. up and down the streets and along the highways in Cuba, that business works, business isn't a bad thing, and that, geez, if you're entrepreneurial, you can improve your place in life, and the notion of working for other people as opposed for the government, that change is occurring. Plus the opening to foreign direct investment and the kinds of strategic investments that are being made to facilitate that. We ought to think long and hard about why we want to let that be taken fully by folks like the Chinese and the Brazilians when we could be doing that. We're not helping the Cuban people by letting others eat our lunch. We are, I think, the most natural economic force to be working with Cuba. So it caused this old anti-communist conservative to rethink, and maybe it should cause others.
All parts of New York State were represented in the trade delegation, including representatives from food and agriculture, healthcare, travel and tourism, and aviation sectors. I'm Pat Bradley, WAMC News.